If you're interested, Father Dave is in the confessional, waiting for some friendly visitors and to bestow the mercy of God on you if you so desire. And also, I'll try to be on my best behavior today because my mother and father are here, so I'll try. Vanity of vanities, says Koheleth. Vanity of vanities, all things are vanity. In the name of the Father, in the Son, in the Holy Spirit, amen. So when King Solomon writes that all things are vanity, the king who was known to be the wisest man among men, we have to ask him, okay, wise guy, what is not vanity? What matters in this world? Where can we find it? To begin to unpack this question of what really matters, what is the most important thing, which is not vanity, what matters to God, we look to St. Paul in the second reading. And he says, since we have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed for knowledge in the image of its creator. We also heard in the opening prayer of Mass, for those who glory in you as their creator. So this morning we have to go back to the first acts of creation. When God created the world, and what does that mean to us? What does it mean for us to be creatures in relationship to God who is the creator? And that'll help us understand about what is vanity and what is not vanity. So we know that when God created man and woman, he created them good. He said they're very good, because they're in his image and likeness. We hear that all the time. We're created in God's image and likeness, but what does it mean? And to figure out something about that, we have to look into our own soul and think about what are we capable of. Firstly, we heard about knowledge. We are in God's image and likeness because we can know God. We can know things. We can build beautiful things. We can fly airplanes. We can go to the moon. He's given this incredible power, which is the image of him. And the most important thing is we can know him himself. He's given us a will so that we can love. We can love God above all things. And we can love our neighbor as we should love ourselves. Another thing that makes us in the image of God, knowledge and love. And where you have knowledge and you have love, you also have freedom. The beautiful gift that we have of freedom. Without those two conditions, nobody can be free. Animals are not free, even though they may seem like it. But we, in God's image and likeness, have this beautiful opportunity to make a choice. And we see, what did Adam and Eve do with that choice? They were in paradise. The Garden of Eden was paradise. There was no war. There was no strife. There was no weeds in the garden. It was beautiful. They walked among the presence of God, and they were his friend. And he asked them to love him. But what did they do? The little snake came along, the little guy with horns, and he said, you can be like God, but do it on your own terms. He told you to do this, but here, this is something better. Try this out. So they did. And Adam and Eve committed the original sin. They used their gift of freedom to love God in a bad way. And they loved the creature more than the creator. And this is at the essence of what sin is. It's when we turn to a created good and we love it more than what we should love God. And in the first reading, we see what the effects of this sin are. And we probably experience it in our own lives, whether we realize it or not. Toil, anxiety of heart, sorrow, grief, and these become our occupation. We may, if we look at ourselves and we're honest with ourselves, we may feel this. We may feel suffering. We may feel the toil of troubles with health, troubles with family, getting along with neighbors and truly loving people. And what does these consequences of sin, what do they lead to? St. Paul in the second reading says that it leads to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and lying to one another. The consequence of sin is death. Those who die in sin go to hell. It's a scary thing. We're all capable of it. But we're all also capable of much greater things because we are children of God our Father. St. Paul says then, put to death the parts of you that are earthly. So we have to look in ourselves. We experience this and we know that it drags us down. I have the beautiful opportunity of every Wednesday night going to Camp Gray to help hear confessions for the youth that are on camp there. And we have to pray for our youth because the world is a dark place. Satan works in the world to distract people from God. But the youth and all of us are crying out, as we heard the choir beautifully sing in the responsorial psalm, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain wisdom of heart. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Because God has created us for himself, and we will not be happy until we possess God, and God in our lives is all in all. There's this tension that we experience. And we have to, in a sense, empty ourselves of that which gets in the way of God so that he can completely fill us up. The Alleluia verse, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. This doesn't mean that we have to go and sell everything and become Franciscans and live in poverty, but it means that we have to be detached from the things that get in the way with our relationship with God. We have to make a good examination of conscience. And if you need one, there's these handy ones in the back of church, a pocket guide to confession. When we know the things that get in the way in our lives of God's plan for optimum happiness, for experiencing the fruit of being a son and daughter of God our Father, then we can truly experience the blessed life, happiness, and we can go to heaven because that's ultimately where God wants us to be. He wants us to be with him in heaven for all eternity. And this world, when we look at our life here, 70, 80, 90 years, for some more, some less, compared to eternity, which is never ending, I think a quote of St. Teresa of Avila sums it up pretty good. This beautiful contemplative nun who lived her life completely and totally for Jesus. And she said, our life in the world is like one night in a cheap hotel where the bed squeaks and the faucet leaks. How much greater is heaven going to be for all eternity? So this is what we have to look forward to. We have to keep things in perspective because if we live just for this world, it is vanity. But if we live for Christ, and if Christ is the King of our hearts, he is our all in all. And if there's nothing in our hearts which gets in the way of him completely and totally loving us, then we will hear at the end of our lives, when we appear before God, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the kingdom of heaven. That's what we want to hear. And God gives us the helps now to get there. Our time here is a spiritual boot camp as we prepare and as we train for eternal life. So please Be rich in the things that matter to God. Be rich in a good confession. Be rich in a good reception of Holy Communion, in your prayers, in your hours spent in adoration, and in your love for God, and in your love for neighbor. Ask Mary to help you as she was obedient to Jesus for 33, as Jesus was obedient to her for 33 years on this earth. He still is in heaven, and he will give her anything that we ask her. So fly to Mary, our mother, and she will help us get us there so that we may be rich in what matters to God. May Almighty God bless us all, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.